The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
All right, it's high noon where we are. Probably 1 o'clock on the East Coast for those of you doing the math. I know. I hope we're not all in la-la land today, because we've got some important stuff to discuss here. This is our Thursday edition of the Power Hour. Welcome. And the Power Mall is still open. It's now open again. It's been open since 8 a.m. Central. We're open till 4. Jay and Linda are standing by to take your calls, 877-817-9829. And, of course, Prepper Beef is one of our partners. We've talked about that also. They're in the Partners tab. And, of course, J.D. Rucker is the editor of the Liberty Daily. It's a news platform known for its insightful commentary on current events. You see, we told you on this show that we would have insightful commentators on here, right? As well as providing news analysis rarely reported by mainstream media. He's also the CEO of Prepper All Naturals. He's a Christian husband, father, advocate for preparedness and self-reliance, frequently discussing the importance of prepping in today's unpredictable world. See, here's the thing. You have, the story that we just talked about today about Brandon Caserta, and he got surrounded by Bay City, Texas cops who all looked in his car, and one of them said, "Hey, he looks like a prepper." Like, that's a bad thing. J.D. Rucker, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Well, and I got to wonder, my show notes are indicating that the Trump hush money trial has triggered a prepper surge. Now, why would that be? Explain. What's your analysis?
Generally, when we get surges, we can predict them, okay? If you got, for example, bird flu, we got a surge. We got a surge whenever there's any attacks on beef. We get surges whenever there's, when the pro-Hamas protests started, we started getting surge after surge after surge. This is the one, Dave, I have no idea why, okay? But we're getting people, when we take the calls, I like to call a lot of our customers and say, hey, you know, what prompted you? And for whatever reason, and it's a diverse series of reasons, but there's really two things that people are saying. Number one, they're saying, man, they're just trying to, they're not going to stop. They're going to do whatever they can to ruin him. So we're going to do what we can to get ready for that. And then there's others that are saying, look, he's going to end up winning. He's going to make it through this. And then there's going to be chaos before, during, and after the election. Either way, this trial, for whatever reason, is causing people to say, hey, I better stock up. I better get ready for whatever is to come.
Yeah, I mean, and the reverse is, too, is that, you know, we've got these two debates set up, which are a real joke, because Biden doesn't want an audience, because as soon as Trump says something and, you know, all of his supporters cheer, I mean, it's going to be Jake Tapper won't be able to get a word in edgewise, but he's the last guy I would want to see moderating a debate. Seriously, that's like two Democrats against a Republican, but the uniparty still survives. And this is a big thing. So we've got this perceived frivolous lawfare as a possibility against we the people. I mean, they can go after Trump. I think a lot of people, especially the ones that are prepping right now, understand that this is not a fringe group. This is a mainstream movement that's going on here right now, because people recognize supply shortages and all sorts of other stuff. The people that call you, that you talk to, do they talk about the Trump hush money trial and what's going on with it?
Yes, and they're concerned. It's funny, because we had a humongous surge yesterday following the debate announcement. It was, I would say, top 20 of all time, maybe even top 10. I'd have to check the numbers. But as far as the hush money trial, nobody's out there saying, oh, you know, he's in trouble or he did something wrong. They're all saying, hey, yeah, like, here's something really dumb, and they're going to try to nail him on that. So they're really coming after us hard. The concern that Americans are having is that if this innocuous meaningless payment, which most of them believe, and I agree with them, was really to protect his wife. That had nothing to do with campaigns. It was to protect his wife, which is not a crime. But they're saying if they're going after him, then with this, then that means that they're going to do anything they can. Anything. There is no limit to what they're going to do to try to stop him. And that has people concerned. It has them very concerned. As far as the debate, we got that surge. you'd mentioned, I just want to briefly note that I don't look at the rules as necessarily against him. I think these might actually turn out to be bad for Joe because, for example, they say don't, you know, there's not going to be an audience. Look, the best thing that you want is for Joe to speak in silence. Just let him talk as much as possible. And that's where the second rule, which is no, you know, cutting off the mic, I think that's going to play to Trump's advantage as well, because let's face it, during the 2020 election campaign, the worst thing that Trump did was when he was trying to interrupt him. He wasn't able to get any of those famous lines like with Hillary, you know, because you'll be in jail. He couldn't drop any of those, and I think you know, that version of Biden handled it well. The best thing that can happen, in my humble opinion, is for Joe to get 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes to answer these various questions, and he gets revealed for exactly who he is on a national stage.
Right, because he's going to all of a sudden start screaming, yelling, and then everything is going to get broken up because he doesn't. I mean, unless they've got this whole thing rehearsed and Jake Tapper and Trump's team already, or not Trump, but Biden's team already knows what Jake Tapper's going to ask him. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they staged the whole thing to try to disadvantage Trump. I really do. And that's probably got people concerned as well. But see, I've said and insisted that if the Trump team wants to do anything in this hush money trial, they need to get the and there's nothing that says they can't demand that the current prosecutor, Colangelo, be put on the stand to ask what his connection is to this thing and then subpoena Lauren Merchant and get her in there, the judge's daughter. And Representative Dan Goldman, who claims he coached Michael Cohen to lie. Because, see, the thing is that what was not in the indictment is the actual law that they say he violated. It's not in the indictment. It's nowhere there. I want to know how the judge is going to instruct the jury, 12 brain deads. I mean, how's that supposed to work? And it, like I said on the show this morning, JD, if the people were really worried and this jury... They're in New York now. They're in a major city like L.A. When O.J. was on trial, they didn't want to convict him because they were afraid there was going to be a riot. How do you think these jurors are supposed to feel knowing they could send a former president to prison and piss off 80 million Americans? How do you think they feel?
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that there's at least one in there that will react with his or her conscience. I'm hopeful that they can at the very least cause a mistrial. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever of an acquittal. I really don't. I think that there are members of this jury, because it's New York City, there are members of this jury that if they would have said, hey, you know, we're putting Trump on trial for saying the sky is blue, they would have said guilty, you know, instantaneously. So we're hoping for one or two holdouts who just then either because they're sane and they realize that he's not guilty, or as you said, because they look at this and they think, man, I don't want my city to burn. I'm not gonna be the cause of New York City going into chaos and possibly the entire nation going into chaos as a result of one fraudulent conviction. So
not only that, but I mean, you've got people out there that are going to be watching these jurors leave the courthouse and they're going to follow them. That's what I would be more concerned about. You know, these people are not stupid. I don't care what they call them, MAGA extremists or whatever the case may be. People understand, you know, they love their former president. And if they convict him and these people know it's nothing but a shift show, they're going to follow these jurors home. I mean, if I was a juror, I'd be really thinking strong and hard about that one, because all of a sudden things start happening. And I think they should be worried about that because this could literally start a riot, not just in New York City, but in other places. So the legal and political implications of all of this stuff, you know, given Biden's ability to campaign freely while Trump is, you know, off the campaign trail, I really don't think that Biden is getting the support, because people are looking at what he's done. He's wrecked the economy. And what has this done as far as initiating the prepping cycle?
It's done everything, because it's worked in both directions. On one hand, You know, we've had to, we actually had to reduce our prices over at bestusabeef.com because our food is premium. Like, we don't sell the beef crumbles or anything like that. We're selling actual, like, ribeye, New York strip, tenderloin, and stuff like that. But our intention, this isn't like, oh, you know, we're going to get rich off this. Our intention really legitimately truly is to try to feed as many Americans as possible and get them ready. I'm not like a lifetime prepper here, so I'm relatively new to this. I've been doing it for 3 or 4 years. But I also realize that the people want good quality food. So when they see everything that's happening, you know, they see the risks, whether it's from the Biden economy, whether it's from the border invasion, whether regardless, you know, pick a topic. He's botched them all. Foreign affairs, domestic affairs, up, down, left, right, doesn't matter. People are feeling it one way or the other, and they're really starting to realize, finally, I think, for the first time perhaps in our lifetimes, they're starting to realize, huh, maybe my allegiance has always been wrong. Or perhaps, I think more of them are realizing, hey, maybe this party really has left us behind. Maybe this really isn't what we want. And, you know, whether it's to try to get sanity back in the Democrat Party or to just make the conversion over to independents or Republican, they're making those choices. And as a result, they're also deciding, man, I really do need to start taking care of myself and my family. And that's why they're going over to bestusabeef.com.
Well, for sure. And not only that, but I mean, they're stocking up on guns and ammo, too. And the more they keep saying that there could be something wrong, I mean, there's some fear mongering going on in the media community as well. And of course, that has an impact on public opinion, and that motivates people. So, and then you got people saying that the system isn't fair. And of course, now you got blacks and Hispanics and whatnot moving over to the Trump side of things because they realized, hey, you know, way back when, we may not like him very much, but the fact is the economy was doing really good when he was president, and we weren't in the middle of a war, and this was good. Everything was good. We didn't have all the issues, and the whole time they were trying to hang him out to dry, and now we figured out exactly why they're doing it, because they want to keep this Biden machine in power so that Obama can have a fourth year of being president of the United States, because we know damn well that Biden can't think for himself. Every time he stops to talk to the media, it looks like he's pooping in his diaper. So, you know, I got to, you know, the long-term political ramifications, some of our listeners out there even wonder whether we're going to have an election in November. That is influencing a lot of this, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and we hear that a lot, too. Yeah, starting in about, I'd say, probably November, December, so almost a year, about a year out, that's when everything shifted. Prior to that, the biggest concern for a lot of our, you know, we always ask, what prompted you to buy? And the biggest concern had been, you know, potential for natural disasters, potential for cyber attacks, stuff like that. That got replaced with potential for chaos in America before, during, and especially after the election. And keep in mind, they're not saying it's going to be chaos because this guy wins or that guy wins. They're saying there's going to be chaos regardless of who wins. And Dave, I'll tell you, I feel the same way. You know, it's like you look at all the scenarios, you've got on one side, you already have the Antifa folks doing their thing. And as you noted, you know, we're going to be the MAGA side is going to be very upset if they feel the election was stolen. It's like, wow, you know, it's J6 all over again, except nationwide and sustained, you know, not just one event. It could go on forever. So people are looking at this and they're thinking, it doesn't matter who's going to win. It only matters what happens. And then you said, you know, what if there's not an election? Talk about chaos on a mass scale at that point. This is why I tell people, you know, what's the first thing you should do? I tell people the first thing I would do is get out of the city. You know, this is the last place you want to be in times of turmoil. That's not to say that rural areas are going to be completely safe, because there's going to be a lot of people going out there as well to try to take stuff. But if you're in a city when all this chaos is going down, that's going to be very hard on people. You know, it really is.
Yeah, we kind of figured as much. And I've been telling people that if there is any way that you can move to the country to do it, I realize you might be taking a little bit of a loss selling your place, or it might not be worth what you think it is. If you've got all this stuff, if you're a hoarder, And I'm not talking about your prepping supplies, but I mean, literally, if I was going to move, all that stuff would be right in the front of the truck. I mean, I would not leave it behind for anything. And so, you know, people need to start to focus on the communities. I know that I just got a, and I don't know if you heard about this, but I just got an email from one of our listeners out there that was talking about a network. And it's called the Freedom Cell Network. The website is freedomcells.org. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I have. I have, actually. Very needs some work, but the concept is super strong. And, you know, whether through, and I do recommend it. There's Facebook variations as well. You know, so the first piece of advice is to get out of the city. Second piece of advice is to form a localized network. Assume that the infrastructure is going to be down in multiple fashions. In other words, you're not going to be able to get, for example, your pharmaceuticals delivered to your pharmacy if your pharmacy hasn't, assuming that your pharmacy hasn't been burned down already. Assume that you're going to want to be, have like-minded individuals around you within proximity, not on the internet. I'm talking about people that you can actually physically, drive to or walk to and say, hey, Bob, you know, things are going crazy. Are you ready? And Bob says, yeah, I'm ready. Okay, well, let's get a hold of Carl and Sally and everybody else. You know, the being able to localize is the most important thing as far as, you know, full time. I'm talking about long term preparedness. I'm not talking about just, you know, if there's a tornado or if there's a month long lockdown or anything like that. I'm talking about if the crap really does hit the fan, you're going to want to know your local farmer, your local doctors, your local everything. Local, 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 local. Second best piece of advice I can give.
Yep, makes sense. Now, the thing about the freeze-dried beef, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is 100% natural. I bought it. I have it. I'm continuing to acquire it. This is not lab-grown. It's pure high-quality. No mRNA jabs on the cows. And you guys raise them yourself. You're veteran-owned, right? I interviewed Jason on the show.
Good. Yeah, I love Jason. He's my partner.
Yep. I know. So yeah, that's why I brought it up. But anyway, I mean, you know, that's why we made Prepper Beef a partner here on the Power Hour. So the thing is that, you know, the stuff that you hear, you're hearing EMP, you're hearing, you know, and not if, but when, you're hearing the fact that we could be cyber attacked. You've got all these Chinese military. Has anybody brought up all these Chinese military age men coming into the country that the UN might commission them? I mean, people say, there's a tinfoil hat argument again. No. Now, when you got that many people in here, are they seriously training? Has anybody hit you with that stuff? Training to become part of the UN force?
100%. And it's, you know, they might say, oh, tinfoil hat. But if they look at the statistics, earlier this month, there was a two-day period where there were more Chinese nationals caught at the border than in the entire year of 2021. 2 days, Dave, 2 days more Chinese nationals captured at the border than all of 2021. This isn't tinfoil hat stuff. This is actually happening right in front of us. Now, when you start saying, well, is that the UN? Look, let's say best case scenario, hey, they're just illegal aliens. They're just, you know, just more. That's horrible enough. What makes it even worse is if there is a conspiracy, whether it's the CCP, the United Nations, the Council for Inclusive Capitalism, the World Economic Forum, Obama, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, I don't care. Pick one. Pick five. There's so many scenarios that we could be dealing with right now. And so just the fact that they are coming over here today, now, of all times, it's not like, you know, oh, wow, you know, there's so much prosperity here. We're having a difficult time taking care of our own people. Why would they want to come here? You know, unless they're incentivized to come here. So, yeah, call me a tinfoil hat guy if you want, but I'm just looking at the facts, and the facts are scary.
They are. Well, and see, people just, you know, if you're going to move back to a major city, you're asking for trouble. Obviously, yeah. The more rural you can get, the better, and that's why you're seeing a lot of shifting going on, especially people leaving the blue state cities, you know, like California, their major cities, people are migrating either into the countryside or they're leaving the state of California completely. Same with New York, same with New Jersey. Florida is filling up. Texas is filling up. And the thing is that, you know, where you guys are, and I know where you guys are because I've driven past there on I-35 multiple times on my way to Waco. You know, and then you've got those two after what just happened to Brian Malinowski with ATF showing up at his door and putting two bullets in his head on a search warrant and covering up his cam. I mean, you know, his door cam. I was just like, okay, nobody cams nothing. And I'm just like, okay, this is just nuts. Is that this is what we have to look forward to. But if the grid goes down, everybody's on a level playing field. And that's where I think the community is going to have to go come into play here. But trying to encourage people who don't want to listen. This is probably our second biggest problem here, JD, is that trying to get people to come to our conclusion has been the toughest thing, whether it's about not getting the COVID jab, whether it's, you know, the situation here with stocking up and then people start looking at the prices of the stuff and going, oh, my God. See, they don't understand the freeze-dried process, and I actually talked about your ribeye process that you cannot freeze-dry fat, and so you cut that away, you trim it away. And does that affect the outcome when you add some water to this freeze-dried beef when you take it out of the wrapper and then use it and cook with it? How does it work?
Yeah, so it does affect the outcome. Look, anybody who says, oh, you know, freeze-dried food is just as good, that's not true. You know, is it much better than dehydrated? You betcha. Is it much better than canned? Oh, my gosh, don't even get me started on canned beef. This is the highest quality that you can get next to cooking it fresh. Of course, it's not going to be as good, but we're talking about 90-95%, and that goes for both flavor as well as nutrition. You throw in the consistency aspect of it, and I always tell people, look, you know, we say to rehydrate it for 20 minutes plus. The best practice, the way that I do it, because I eat this stuff all the time, the way that I do it is I take beef broth. You know, you get those little packets of beef broth, right? The you add them to hot water, and you get it boiled up. I take that and I pour it over the beef, because don't forget, our beef is, it's only one ingredient. We don't add preservatives, but we don't even add salt. We want it to be available for whatever. If people want to put it in stew, if they just want to rehydrate it and eat it direct, that's great. That's fine. Awesome. You know, I do mine in beef broth, and I let it sit there for about 20 or 25 minutes. And then I'll take one, and I'll cut it open. If it's rehydrated all the way through, guess what? It's done. But as you said, we do have to cut away as much of the fat as possible because it doesn't freeze-dry very well. By doing that, you know, anybody who's familiar with steak, let's face it, that's where the flavor is. So when we do it the way that when we produce the way that we produce it, we're producing with as much of the retention of the original product as possible, the original, you know, all Texas steak that we can get. It's not going to be, oh my gosh, I have to eat this every day, even though some people do. At least for, you know, for me, it's not something that I would eat every day. But if in an emergency situation, if I'm stuck at home, or stuck out in, you know, on a bug out situation for days, weeks, months at a time, you bet you it's going to be the most delicious stuff that you can have compared to beef crumbles, compared to canned this or SpaghettiOs or whatever. You know, I have a very high standard. I really do when it comes to food. And this stuff definitely meets my standard, whether it's the ribeye, the New York strip, the tenderloin, the sirloin, all of it's fantastic. It really is.
Now that's one of the reasons why I ordered it. You know, and the thing is that it's an investment in your future, folks. Now this is 10 plus years of shelf life. The way things are right now, JD, I'm hearing reports from various outlets and various people. And I want you can add to this conversation about that, but they're saying that basically we need to prepare and have at least a 2-year supply of food. Has that become now a standard in the prepper industry?
I don't know if you want to call it a standard, but it is a goal. And okay. The reason that so 2 years gives you enough time, right? 2 years gives you enough time to be able to figure out the next step. You know, and people say, oh, you know, we won't need 2 years, but I think the vast majority of Americans don't realize that if things do go south, it's not going to be a quick recovery. You know, you can even look biblically and say, you know, are we expecting a 7-year drought, or in this case, a 7-year crap hitting the fan? Yeah, I would think so. But if you can get to 2 years, at least then you have the ability to, you know what, if things go really south, I'm going to be able to build my own personal infrastructure. I can get started on gardening because it really does take approximately 2 years to get a garden to where it's fully developing. I can get the community together, and we can work on hunting parties. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like, Dave, how things are going to be. I just know that if I can get to that two-year mark, just 2 years worth of food and water, and, of course, ammunition and energy and meds, can't forget all that stuff. But if I can get to that two-year mark, then at least that should give me enough time to figure out how I'm going to protect my family indefinitely. And so 2 years is a great number to shoot for.
Right. And the other thing, too, is you don't want to live near a nuclear power plant. You want to be at least 70 miles. And see, this really blows me away, JD, about how people can just, you know, and I mean, seriously, in Texas, you've got one nuclear power plant right there in Somerville. And I'm like, wow, that's close. They want you to be over 50 miles. 70 miles is kind of the safe part of it. But, you know, fortunately, where you are actually south of that. And so all of the drift would be to the east, the northeast, and the north because of the way the jet stream flows. So you guys are pretty much out of it. I would be very concerned about all these little Chernobyls if the grid goes down. And it is likely that if the administration doesn't get a handle on this situation and gets us into another war and we get cyber attacked, which is the first thing that most of our people that we're talking to say is going to happen. They're going to start shutting down the grid in spots. And once they blinded the military, then they will start doing limited nukes. And, once they start seeing all these little mini Chernobyls, I mean, that'll pretty much do, start the implosion. The major cities will implode. So since we know this already, we take to heart what you just said about getting out of the major cities and trying to reestablish yourself. We've got people on here from the Grow Network that says you only need basically an area the size of three parking spaces to have a successful garden. And I'm like, I'm looking at this going, and you can barely feed, what, two people out of something like that? Maybe not even as much. It just depends on what you plant. And you're only supposed to plant what you're going to eat. Don't plant stuff that doesn't work for you unless you know somebody in your community that likes it that you can use as a trading partner. I mean, I would think that, like what you said about gardening, it is going to take time, and that's why we had people from Heaven's Harvest on yesterday with heirloom seeds talking about that, because you can reuse them. Any other advice you want to give while we still have a minute left?
Well, no, first and foremost, I'm glad that you're working with folks at Heaven's Harvest. They're fantastic. You know, we love those guys a lot. So yep. big plug to them. Second, just a quick note about nukes, quick funny story. We had a guy say, you know, he moved his everything, and then he found out that there was the river that he was intending to rely on. If you go upstream about 40 miles, he found a nuclear power plant, so he had to move again. You got to try to take everything into consideration. That's the bottom line. And there's no, you don't get stressed and think, oh my gosh, I forgot. What did I forget? Just pray through it, work through it, think through it, and come up with the best plan possible.
Yep, that's all we can say. And then, of course, shop prep or beef, you know. And the thing is, like I said, you don't have to eat beef 7 days a week. So, you know, you can pick and choose what you want based on what you like. And just understand, it's there basically as survival food, okay? You can shop prep or beef right there at the Power Hour. Click on that. Let us know you shopped. J.D. Rucker, thank you so much for joining us in this segment. It's always enlightening.
Thanks, Dave. Bless you, brother.
Yeah, bless you, too. Take care. Bless you for the work you're doing. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being mean so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. shoptheparamall.com. That's theparamall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold-pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let me know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon in our final segment right here, Steve Gorham joins us again. We've always, we're watching the weather, we're looking at geoengineeringwatch.org, you know, and of course, Steve has written a book called Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. He and I both agree that we are so far behind in the technological advances that we need. There's very few companies out there that actually have lithium ion phosphate batteries, which you can store indoors. I mean, the EV market is going crazy. Nobody's buying. They're throwing tariffs against Chinese cars. I mean, welcome to the show, Steve. Boy, we got a whole host of things we're going to be talking about today.
Dave, great to join you again.
Yeah. So what's up with Joe Biden? I mean, is he just a nut job? I mean, people are pushing his buttons and telling him what to do. We obviously know about it, but there is no way. I mean, we've got AI in the mix now, and now Google has come out And basically now it's going to use AI in all of your search tools, and they're using Gemini, and people are going to be asking it questions. I mean, I don't see this jiving with green energy. Do you?
Well, it is. It really is a big, big shift that's going on. But you're right. President Biden has been seized by climatism, if you will, the powerful ideology that humans are causing dangerous global warming. And most of the world's leaders say they believe that, whether they do or not, you know, is a question. But the fear of man-made warming is a powerful force. But just in the last year, ChatGPT came on the scene about a year ago, and then NVIDIA's who's selling all these high-speed processor cards for data centers for AI, has really become the biggest thing in the stock market. And this is really going to hit green energy in a big, big way. And if I can give you a little background on this first.
Sure.
Today, 59% of our electricity comes from hydrocarbons in the United States. 43% of that is natural gas, 16% coal. The green energy movement wants to shut all those plants down. And so over the last two decades, they have shut down a lot of coal plants, more than 200 of them. We've had flat electricity growth for two decades now, about 4.1 million gigawatt hours. But now it's going to ramp, and it is ramping across the country. First, we have the green drivers. One is electric vehicles. We now have, I think it's 22 states that have set goals for or mandates for zero emissions vehicles by 2035 or later. The EPA just passed a new rule, and they want to see 60% of light vehicle sales be EVs by 2030. The second big demand driver is this push for electrifying appliances, get rid of gas and propane furnaces and water heaters and stoves. And this is a big demand, too. In New England, this is said to be bigger than a shift to electric vehicles. A shift to electric appliances will consume more electricity. And then the third one is a push for green hydrogen fuel. And I think this is very crazy in many ways, but the current administration wants to set up a green hydrogen fuel industry for industry, for our industrial processes, such as cement and chemicals. Well, not cement, but chemicals and what else am I searching for here? Plastics, for example. And this would use a huge amount of electricity as well. It would use electrolysis to break apart water and use that to produce green hydrogen. But the biggest of all is this artificial intelligence demand that has just popped on the scene. Today, we have 2,500 data centers in the United States, and they use 4% of our electricity. But many of those are now converting to new high-speed processor cards. And when you put these AI processor cards in a data center, you increase the electricity demand by 6 to 10 times. And so there are many people that are predicting that this 4% of data center electricity consumption is going to go to 20% within the next 10 years. And all of the grid operators have really been surprised by this hike in demand. And you got quotes. I can read you one here. This guy from Georgia who is, let's see if I can find it. Jason Shaw, chairman of the Georgia Public Service Commission, he says, quote, "When you look at the numbers, it is staggering. It makes you scratch your head and wonder how we ended up in this situation. How are the projections that far off?" He means for new electricity demand. This has created a challenge like we've never seen before. In Virginia, the guys who are doing this are Meta, are Alphabet, Google, are Microsoft, or Amazon. They're building these big data centers, and they're upgrading the existing data centers. They've gone to the utility in Virginia and said, we need a couple of gigawatts, which is like two new nuclear plants. And, you know, you just don't do that. You're not going to do that with offshore wind. I'll let you get a question or a comment.
Oh, no, that's fine, because, I mean, I like hearing what you're saying, because, I mean, they just approved – with the old Foxconn up there in Wisconsin, they want to build a huge data center up there. And I think that the reason they want the data centers is that so they can have information centers to spy on America. It's part of their surveillance state plan. But the problem is if they take the grid down with their electricity consumption, these data centers won't function. If we have a cyber attack or a power failure because of the fact that it can't handle the overload, their whole system, we're all on a level playing field then.
Yeah, well, these learning algorithms for AI, what they do is they put like 10,000 processors on a job, and they run these for weeks, 24 hours a day in these data centers, and there's no way wind and solar can do that. And so we're going to have a huge imbalance in the amount of electricity that's being demanded and the amount that can actually be supplied. And, you know, the big guys are going to get their electricity. We just had Amazon just bought a data center that's co-located with a nuclear plant in Pennsylvania. And the reason is so they can get the electricity. So what is going to happen from this? We're going to have a couple big impacts. One is they're going to quit shutting down the gas and coal plants around the country. There's just no way we can shut down 59% of our electricity and still meet the demand that's coming. The second thing is that we're going to have higher electricity prices for everybody else, because demand is going to be higher in supply, the electricity price is going to go up. So it's not only your homes, but it's charging stations that are struggling to break even. By the way, none of the charging companies today are making any money in the United States. They're all losing money. Electricity prices are going to go up. This conversion to home appliances using heat pumps, that's going to be more expensive. That's not going to work very well. And I think the green hydrogen industry just isn't going to make it. So some big, big changes. And this is there's going to be a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth. The green movement's going to be real unhappy with what's going to go on.
So the thing is, though, and I noticed from the show notes here, and understand something, folks, if you don't know who Steve Gorham is, and he's been on the show before, right? He's the executive director of the Climate Science Coalition of America, and he's author of four books on energy, climate change, and sustainable development. Over 100,000 copies are out there on the store shelves. Many of them have been sucked up right now because people are reading, trying to get a handle on things. There are multiple ways of sustaining if you have access to any of this stuff, like hydroelectric, you can create yourself. Any kind of energy, the food, water, shelter, I've said are the three things you need to worry about more than anything. And of course, then you're going to need guns and ammo to protect it, because other people, when the power goes out, because either because of this demand, because green energy has failed, because of EMP, there is a number of factors here that our government's well aware of. They have created their own underground sites. We've talked about that on the show. Steve, I'm sure you're well aware of it. There's going to be an energy demand by all these underground facilities, too, that apparently have their own power generation. I don't know how long that's going to last or whether or not it's going to fail in the event of EMP. Mount Weather or wherever you're looking at these giant underground cities, they all need electricity to survive. And like I said, we are about 30 years behind technologically, but we've got over what? How many hundreds of years worth of fossil fuels that we can continue to rely on until that technology actually catches up?
Centuries. We have natural gas is very, very low cost, and we have a lot of it in the country. I mean, that's the good news, but the problem is they're not going to be able to build these plants fast enough. Microsoft wants to be very green. They keep telling everybody how they're going to be net zero by 2030. But I just read an article. They just realized they're going to need about four or five times as much electricity in their data center. So the job just got really, really a whole lot bigger. And it's really going to be crazy to watch over the next decade, watch this roll out. But I don't think the administration realizes this current issue, the Biden administration, how big this demand is going to be. In Chicago, for example, they say that data center demand is going to go up 900%. In Georgia, they want to ban data centers around the city, first because they're kind of big and ugly, but second because they're taking so much power. So it's really going to be there's going to be a push for AI, and then there's going to be a bunch of people that are having trouble keeping up the electricity.
So the thing is that keeping up with electricity, and this is what, you know, we just got done talking about prepping. Imagine that. And now we're talking about this and how AI and everything else is going to affect. I mean, I think people, because Google now is going to enhance the AI experience, and they actually have now are bringing in this Gemini platform. And I mean, seriously, I mean, this is nothing but a colossal failure that's going to hit us, because, I mean, these things could literally start a nuclear war. And there's a lot of people out there that are freaking out about it, but they're going, I don't know if I want to invest in solar. I don't know if I want to invest in wind. I mean, if all these batteries, these, but I'm like, wait a minute, what other choice do you have? I mean, we've got Lion Energy, there's EcoFlow. I mean, there's a lot of different companies out there that have lithium ion phosphate batteries, which are safe to store indoors, as opposed to some of these others. I mean, when you've got Tesla and other EV companies telling you to park your car outside for fear that it's going to explode and take your house down, I mean, you know, who are people supposed to trust? And I mean, solar right now, are we at an advantage if we invest now?
Well, I think, you know, if you're in a warm climate and if the incentives are favorable, you know, if you're in the southern states and the incentives are favorable, I think solar can be a good job, a good thing. I don't know if it's going to do much, though, in the northern, you know, if you're in New England, you're in Chicago and in those sorts of places or in a cloudy area, it's not going to do a whole lot. Backup generators are probably a pretty good idea. By the way, you know the biggest source of fires in New York City now? Did we discuss that last time
no,
I was on?
No, we didn't, but is it electrical?
It's not cooking. Yeah, it's not cooking. It's not smoking. It is e-bikes are now the biggest source of fires in New York City. They've had like 200 fires in the last year, and they've gone up from nothing over the last 3 years. People are buying these cheap e-bikes that aren't very well tested, and then they park them down on the first floor, and their building ends up going up. They've had a number of people killed from these things. I've got a condo in Virginia Beach, and I told my my manager, I don't want anybody staying there with e-bikes. Don't be doing that. Uh-huh. So yeah, these batteries can do a lot of good things, but they do have some problems with self-ignition that we. Oh, another one is school buses. Boy, you know, we have our Vice President Kamala Harris has gushed about how great electric school buses are going to be, but I can show you a whole bunch of videos where these things have gone up. There's one in China where these people are literally jumping out of this bus that stopped at an intersection. The thing just decided to flame. And in Paris and in London, God forbid we have a fire with kids on an electric school bus. I just hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, there are problems with every new technology. But the idea that we ought to be doing all this to stop the oceans from rising, that's where we've really gone off track.
Well, we have. And I mean, the real evidence here is that what we've had a 1.1 degree Celsius rise in temperature over the last how many years?
140 years since 1880. It's very, very small. And there have been many times in the past when it's been warmer than today. We have had multi-century long periods in the last 10,000 years when it was warmer than today. And there's just an ocean full of evidence that was the case, despite the fact that the United Nations says we're in the age of global boiling. And a lot of other people says it hasn't been this raw, this warm in 120,000 years. That's flat out wrong. And I do discuss that in my first two books on climatism and the climate.
Right. So the thing is, folks, if you want to get copies of Steve Gorham's book, you have to understand, if you can't get a handle around what the other side is talking about and how to defeat it, there's no point in engaging in a discussion. You have to have the facts. And that's one of the reasons why we have Steve on the show to talk about stuff like this, especially with Green Breakdown, because now basically what you're saying, Steve, is that we are going to have some sort of major shortage of electrical power in the U.S. and it may come sooner than later. I mean, you're saying next decade could be sooner than that, right?
Yeah, we actually have some, the number of outages are going up. The data from the U.S. Department of Energy, a decade ago, the average outage for an electricity user, a cumulative in a year, was about 3.5 hours. But now that's running 5, 6, or 7 hours. It's gone up in a decade, and it's because of all these intermittent renewables we've been putting in, and we've been shutting down our reliable power. That's, in my opinion, that's going to continue to go higher if we keep deploying more and more intermittent renewables. So, you know, backup power source is a good idea for people. They can get those. It's a shame, though, if you have to go buy those. But we need to get back to sensible, reliable power for the people of this country.
Well, and I mean, battery backup is going to be extremely important, and you have to have a way to protect it. And if you don't trust it inside your house, you're going to have to build a small shed to put all this stuff in, because if something goes wrong, you don't want your house burning down. You'd rather see the shed burn down and all your stuff is in the shed, and you've got, you know, some way to cool that equipment, because if it does get hot, it gets hot and you have to protect it. So, I mean, there are all sorts of things that we have to think about when we're in prepping mode. And I have been researching solar, as have several people that I know. And some of them have really moved forward with this battery backup. I mean, this is like your APC, your power cell that's hooked into your computer to keep your internet from failing, which we've had happen a couple of times just on this show because of a spike. And all of a sudden, the internet goes down, everything goes down unless you have it protected. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, people need to understand you need to start thinking wind, solar, batteries, or any way. We have some of our people like Charles in Ohio that, you know, they understand what's going on. They've got the combustion engine and things like that going on. And they've got all sorts of little things that you can engage in to try. But see, the thing with the hydrocarbon fuels, it takes those currently to produce the electricity to service those charging stations, doesn't it?
It does. And by the way, you can get, if you have a gas line to your house, you can get natural gas backups for your electrical power. There's also portable propane generators, too. Mm-hmm. I remember using my my son-in-law's one when I was in Virginia Beach when the power went out. So there are some things you can use. It's unfortunate we need to be using these, but in some cases, it looks to be a rising trend, unfortunately.
Right. Well, I mean, I had a Generac, you know, I have a Generac in my home in Texas, and so yeah. And it's got a 1,000 gallon propane tank buried underground that supplies it. And the thing is that, you know, I know, and this is the downside of the equation. If you are without power and the grid goes down, you cannot rely on that 1,000 gallon tank, which only holds technically 800 gallons. You can't rely on that to run a 22 kilowatt propane generator, 24 kW, whatever you've got, indefinitely. It's just not going to happen. It will last you less than a week. It will be gone. And so, you know, you really need to keep a handle on the supplies, because any kind of, I mean, the people in Texas in 2021 found out the hard way, and that's why a lot of people went that direction and went out and got propane generators and stocked up on stuff like this, because of the fact they did not want to go through another week of hell and having pipes freezing and the damage it could cause. I mean, this is just a small fraction of the problems we have if the power goes out, right?
Yeah, you're right. And I don't think we're going to have, I think we're going to have more outages. I don't think we're going to have widespread one, because the grid operators have to keep a lid on things. And so they're going to push back against the data centers. But at the same time, they're not going to want to shut down their plants. And we are seeing plants extended. We've seen there's a plant in Michigan that was shut down, the Palisades nuclear plant, that is being restarted. They're getting $1.5 billion from the federal government. We've seen the Diablo Canyon plant is now extended in California. Utah just extended some coal plants. They were going to shut them down. They've decided they're going to keep them going. So this is kind of a trend of what's going to occur. But again, it's President Biden and the Green Movement are not going to be happy with this.
Well, and the thing is, too, because of all the promises they've made and the billions of our tax dollars they've spent that have gone nowhere, this is not fiscally responsible. But our Congress is behind that as well. How do we deal with that?
Well, absolutely right. You know, President Trump was in earlier this month, was in Wisconsin, and he basically said, let's see if I can find that article as well. He said, quote, I'm going to impose an immediate moratorium on all the new spending grants and giveaways under the Joe Biden mammoth socialist bills like the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. We're going to save all the money. It's not helping you at all. It is astonishing what's going on. Under the Obama administration, we were spending about $15 billion a year in subsidies to wind, solar, and biofuels. It went down when President Trump was in. But now, with the Inflation Reduction Act, the Cato Institute is projecting in fiscal year 2025, $80 billion of subsidies for green programs from the Inflation Reduction Act. And we have all these industries that now exist that really shouldn't exist. They're trying to build carbon dioxide pipelines in the Midwest. They want to capture carbon dioxide. Those things would never be there without all this money. A lot of these charging stations as well are getting huge subsidies from state or federal. They can't break even either. And all this green hydrogen stuff. So we have literally whole industries that are being built on the back of federal subsidies that really wouldn't be there in any kind of a capital system.
Right. And then finally, the thing with the EVs, that's another big problem, because the fact that China now wants to flood the market with their cheap EVs that are going to average about 28 grand. Nobody wants to pay 40 something thousand even for a hybrid, let alone a full electric vehicle like a Tesla, with given their track record. And then you've got charging station problems. But the thing is that these mandates won't work either. Trying to force people to buy electric cars. I mean, there is going to be some serious pushback into the future, isn't there?
Well, I think so. I just wrote an article that was published in Master Resource that talks about what are you going to do in winter when you don't have your gasoline car anymore? there's a lot of northern states. You lose about 20% of your mileage at 30 degrees Fahrenheit. And when you get down to 10%, 10 degrees Fahrenheit, literally you cannot charge your EV unless you have a heated garage.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then when you park it outside and it freezes up and it won't start and the battery drains, then what? Then you're stuck. Steve Corum, I mean, this is just tip of the iceberg. We're going to have you back on as time progresses here toward the November elections, because there is so much to talk about. We appreciate you coming on, because we're out of time for the show today.
Thank you, David.
Sir. God bless you for the work you're doing. I appreciate it. You're keeping us enlightened. That matters. Folks, we will be back tomorrow with a Friday edition. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products.
and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.